There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and saith unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading. Amen.
3:16, I'm sure we could all remember it off by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a word that we see everywhere. You go into different countries and there's celebrations on the Sydney Bridge. It's John 3:16. You go to a football match, someone holds up a banner, John 3:16, and everyone's saying, what's that? Isn't it great to be able to stand beside them and say, here it is. For God so loved the world, and you can tell them what it's about. John 3:16 is something we all know. Recently, I've been going through scripture that I love and going back and looking a little bit deeper. And I'm talking about love. And so when we came up to Valentine's Day, I thought, terrific. But then Andrew said he's not going to talk about our Valentine's. Well, I can understand that. And I want to thank you, ladies, for refraining from sending me all those Valentine cards. Well, it causes confusion at home, you know, if you get too many. It gets difficult. But I love the one that went to a friend of mine. His girlfriend received a card. And it said, I love you dearly. I will cross mountains for you. I will strive across the desert for you. I will go through jungles for you. I will travel the seas for you. And I'll pick you up Thursday at 6 o'clock if it's not raining. So what is love? God's love. It's amazing when you think about it. What is love? And I've got this one here. It's called What, Why and How. What, Why and How. And I want to look at that. What does love look like? You ever thought about that? I look in the mirror and I know exactly what it looks like because I love me. I think he's a great fella. And God must be good looking because if I'm made in God's image, I mean, that's it, isn't it? It's terrific. But what does love look like? You might think of a couple on their wedding day committing themselves to one another for the remainder of their days. Do you remember that? He's shaking his head, he's saying no. Or the couple celebrating an anniversary, reflecting on the experiences that they've shared. My wife and I have been together 56 years. And it said on the day, for better or worse, and I said to her the other day, when am I going to get the better? Bless her, I love her dearly. She's not very well, but thank you for your prayers. You know, we've shared so much time together, and that's love. You might think of a parent holding their child for the first time, or seeing a grandparent walking hand in hand with a grandchild. And he's just learned to walk. I know he's done that, walking the toddler along the road. That's love, isn't it? That really is love. You might think of your sports team, your favourite food, some sort of activity. That's love. Maybe you're thinking of Christmas, the gift that was given to you. Was it given in love? You suddenly open the present and say, oh, I love it, I love it. And it wasn't what you wanted anyway, but you love it because you love the person you're talking to and gave it to you. So often we attach the word love to anything or anyone that brings us happiness. It's something that makes us feel good. It brings us joy. Those things, the people, our experience of love. But how about God? How about God? What does he love? In the words of John 3:16, God tells us not only who he loves, but he also tells us why he loves them and how he loves them. And I think sometimes we need to revisit those old scriptures. It might be a little surprising because God's love is so little different on how often we think about love. Think of those words. You got your Bible open, you want to read them, or you want to go with them with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Who does God love? For God so loved the world. Now you might hear those words, and that shouldn't be surprising, is it? You might think, well, why wouldn't God love the world? He made it. Why wouldn't he make the world? It's a fact. He did everything, and you're right. God made the world and everything. In fact, after creating that world, God steps back and takes a look at his handiwork, and he saw it was good. And I think about the second or third verse down, it says, and it was very good. The world and everything in it was absolutely perfect. That's a world that would be easy for God to love, isn't it? A world that brought God joy and happiness, but the world was not going to stay that way. Listen to the words, just a couple of chapters later in Genesis 6. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. Where do we go from that? It was very good. And a few chapters later, he's saying, oh, I've regretted this. We don't think God makes mistakes, do we? But he thought he'd made a mistake on that one. The people that God had created to love him and live with him forever had decided God was not worthy of their love and trust. They started going their own way. They loved themselves more than God who created and cared for them. And sadly, that continues to be true today. You go to someone and talk to them back, not interested, not interested. Why should I be interested in God? It's the first thing you say, isn't it? And yet the minute they fall over or something goes wrong, they're all going, oh my God, and who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? Oh my God, would you see that? Who are you talking to? You don't recognize him. And for sure, in your state, he's not recognizing you. Look around and see the many ways that people have found the way to manipulate love. Selfishness. That leads people to be more concerned about what they want rather than what will be helpful to others. If you were only to look at your neighbor, a friend across the street and say, look, can I be helpful there? Can I help them? Can I do that? You're doing what God wants you to do. And that's showing love. And there's some unlovely people out there. But they need our love to show God's love. Jealousy, vengefulness, greed. It prompts people to act violent and hate-filled words that destroy relationships and end lives. What's all this fighting that's going on around the world? They don't want God. We want our way of doing things. Let's go and destroy them. You know, it's been since the beginning of time. It's happened and will happen until the Lord comes again. You've got something, I want it. So I'm going to come and browbeat you and I'll chatter you, jump you, and you're that. And if you're not going to do it, then I'll kill you and take it. That's simple, isn't it? But it isn't. That's not love. And this is happening with nations. This is happening with towns. It's happening. They want to take over and do everything for themselves. You find people have decided to redefine love as anything they can feel like doing, regardless of what God says about it. This is not the world with God, with the love of God in it. This is a world that's in love with itself. This is a world that does not naturally bring joy or happiness to God. He sees the loveless ways that people treat each other, and no less than the way they treat him. Why would God love this loveless world? He loves. Who? He loves the world. And the answer to why? It begins with that single word in John 3:16. It's the word perish. The word perish. God knew that the people of this world are going to perish if he didn't step in and do something. You know, I heard in a church meeting once that man stood up and said, the way we're going to go, we're all going to hell. We're all going to hell. I had to agree with him. Unless we think about this, well, God stepping in and doing something. That's the amazing part about God. God's intentions did not change, even though the world he had created had changed, he didn't change. But because of sin, God knew that when a person's life came to an end, it would result in being forever separated from God in hell. Now, you don't hear that word too often in church. And there's some people in church who are going to go to hell because they don't believe it. Oh, I believe all the fruity bits. I like all the nice bits. I like all the bits in between. But we just read there. If you don't believe, you're condemned. And condemned means hell. I did a funeral a short while ago. Some of you know that I did my sister's funeral. And 24 hours later, I was in Cheshire to do a very dear friend's funeral. As someone who'd been looking after me for 30 years. I had my own room, I had my own television, I had my own bed, everything. She bought me a new bed 2 years back. And she was a lovely, lovely lady, Christian lady. And we would sit in church of an evening with 12, 14, 15. But the day of a funeral, we had to open up the shutters at the side of the church to let the others in. The church was packed and packed. So when it stood up to speak, I said to him, it's a pity that someone had to die to get you lot in church. Then I said, but someone did, and his name was Jesus. You've got to do it. Because if they don't listen, they're going to go to hell. They say, well, we don't believe in hell. It's there. It's in the Word. Why? God's intention didn't change, even though the world that he created had. God's intentions were and still are that every human being would live with him in perfect harmony in eternity. That's what the Garden of Eden was about. Adam and Eve walking in the garden, and God walked with them in the cool of the evening. I can dream about that. In the next world, the new kingdom, I'm going to be walking with God in the cool of the evening, sharing with him. And that's going to be beautiful. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, for the former things have passed away. It's all gone. But we can make that now. We can work towards that now. That's the last thing that God wanted, for you to go to hell. So God did something about it. What did he do? He gave. He gave. After all the things that he gives us, he gives again. It continues to give, isn't it? As much as people might not like to admit it, the Christmas present does to some degree tell you how much that person cares for you, doesn't it? I'm fed up with socks and handkerchiefs, but it's great every year. They're there all the time. But if someone gives you a half-eaten can of nuts wrapped up in a brown paper bag stapled at the top, you might wonder what sort of person they are. They give you a present like that, isn't it? Wonder how much they care for you. A gift is a reflection of how the giver feels about you. Look at what God gave you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Wow. Wow. That's how much he loves you. And we walk out of here and say, thank you, Stan, that was brilliant, that was entertaining, that was fantastic. And we go back to work and forget all about it. But we mustn't. He gave you. God, the Father, gave his Son Jesus for you. Jesus, fully God from all eternity, willingly enters this world, wrapped in human flesh, born of a woman. He came from heaven to a world that he created in order to live for us and to love us. That's amazing. Fantastic. Jesus came to love in our place. We've become loveless. So he came and showed us. He loved everybody. He loved everybody. Everybody he touched, he reached out as a friend. Once or twice he got a bit angry. But you can read that. That was the human side of him. But the beautiful godly side of him, he loved. He came and showed us how to love. The perfect love for God led him to love the people in his life perfectly. For us who've been repeatedly failing to do that, we fail so badly. We're so Christian, we try so hard, and yet we still fail. He loved his parents. He loved his brothers, his sisters, and how perfectly he loved his teachers. Jesus perfectly loved his friends, his followers. He loved even those who didn't love him. Does it say that in the scripture? While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. That love would finally drive him to the cross, where he would willingly die and perish in the place of us. What does it say in the good book? The penalty of sin is death. The penalty of sin is death. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's it. We deserve death. But I haven't done anything wrong. No, you haven't done anything right either. Follow the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength and all your soul. No, I haven't. You've sinned. That one word, that one deed, that one thing that you do, it's a sin. And for that, you deserve death. Not that we've got a vicious God. We have a just God. For all our selfishness, our greed, our vengeance and violence, for hatred and jealousy, for every sin, for all humanity, Jesus perished. Why? That whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's why Jesus came, wasn't it? The pure love of God, and showed you how to love everybody. Doesn't matter your colour, your race, your creed, old, young or otherwise. He loved everybody. And he's then, having showed us how to love, he showed us how to die, that we would not perish. He came to live and die so that you and I can have life that God intended the people that he created to have with him. Eternal life in heaven. A life that's free from stress, free from surgeries and doctors. Oh, that would be good, wouldn't it, for a start? Get rid of this wooden leg. Free from sadness, see, free from struggles. A life free from temptation. A life where you will never again have to deal with disappointment or disease. A life where violence and hatred will never be found. That's a life of peace that Jesus came for. And it's yours. Even now, with all the worries and everything else we've got on our shoulders and everything getting older, we can still have that peace. Paul puts it that it's a peace within that is beyond human understanding. Of course it is. It belongs to God. It's given to us. That's the life that God promises is waiting for us. And it says in 1 Peter, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, an inheritance that's been kept in heaven for you. This is the life that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son to bring to you. Maybe you're sitting there this evening thinking, well, that love of God seems so great but so far away. It doesn't feel like the God loves me now. Perhaps you don't feel you're not quite right with that. I can understand that. Maybe it's because there's loneliness. Maybe there's sadness. Maybe there's a fear that you're feeling today. Maybe this year is the first without a loved one that you're normally with. Or maybe it's a year that's got uncertainty hanging over it. My son came in just before I came to the service. He'd been visiting an old friend of mine. He's suffering badly with cancer and he's been taken into hospital. He's in Southend now. We don't know how long he's got. I'll miss him. I can't go to visit him every day, but I shall miss him. I can't say that I love him. He's a dear friend. But it's that thing hanging over you, isn't it? Perhaps there's an uncertainty of a job or a relationship or you or someone else's health. I worry about my good lady. She's not at all well. It's not happening. But the great thing about God's love doesn't depend on how you feel. It doesn't depend on how you feel tonight. It doesn't matter how you feel tomorrow or any other day of your life. God's love is completely unconditional. God's love doesn't depend on what you've done or failed to do in the past. I think that's amazing. Because they told me that the books are being written. And when you get up there, the book of life will be opened. I'm worried about mine because it's going to be a diary. Going to be a library, I think, by the time they get through my lot. But by God's grace and God's love, that's been forgiven. That's amazing, isn't it? Doesn't matter. None of the things that you've done can change in the year ahead. None of these things can change what God has given for you and wants for you. In fact, the love of God is the one thing you can count on no matter what you go through. No matter what you go through. God is there. And I picked up a phrase many years ago that said, if God leads you through it, leads you to it, he'll take you through it. If he leads you to it, he'll take you through it. And then you can come out the other side and praise God. Look what I've been through and praise the Lord. Look what he's done for me. That's the love of God, isn't it? That love that God has shown to our world, to us, changes the way that we should look at the world around us. The Apostle John puts it this way: we love because he first loved us. Now, if he loved us, then what on earth are you doing talking about her next door? Or her down the street? Or mouthing off with the comments that come down? Have you heard? You know what she did? What did? We don't want that. It's love that we should be sharing. We see the world differently when we've seen God's love for the world. I wonder how many of you, there's a few of you here that will probably remember. Remember the little toy called a kaleidoscope? I'm glad there's some nodding heads there anyway. Kaleidoscope. You look through the tube and it was all glass prisms inside, wasn't it? With little, and you shook it and peeked through it and you saw, and you shook it again and twisted it and, amazing, wasn't it? So simple. No batteries needed. Let's stop the kids today. You give them one to the kids today, they'd be looking for the button to turn it on, wouldn't they? No batteries needed. You just look through it and the lenses inside that tube will make everything into these amazing, intricate designs. Nothing changed on the outside, but it changed on the inside. It was just that you looked at it differently. The love that God has shown to you makes you look at the world in a different way. It might be different and same on the outside, but inside you're looking at the world differently because God so loved the world. We see our lives and the people that God brings into our lives as opportunities to reflect that love that God gave us. But we don't do it. And I'm telling you, you don't do it. No, no, you don't. No good shaking your head, you don't. Yes, you do. We don't do it. Because tomorrow we get back in the world and the world crowds in and you think to yourself, oh, I can't do that. They might think I'm a Christian. Or they might think I'm a goody-goody. You go and tell them. Because Christians have got to stand up. There are other places in the world where they're being slaughtered. Christians are being beheaded and slaughtered, dragged out in the streets because they're standing up for their faith. And yet we sit on a Sunday pew and say, oh dear, oh dear. That's not love. Our love is sharing, tearing, telling people about what we've done. God has shown us amazing love. Your relationship with your partner, your children, your parents are an opportunity to demonstrate patience, forgiveness, and the love that God has shown to you. You know, there are times of loss and uncertainty that become an opportunity to witness and grow in your trust in what God has promised you. God's love helps us to see people not as problems, but as souls that are to be won. Souls for God, that they may too know the love of God. God so loved that he gave his one son to live and die for. People that God wants, just like you and me, to live with him in the new heaven and new earth. My friends, that's what love looks like. Not that we loved God, but that God loved a perishing world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal love, life. That's God's love for you. What are you going to do with it? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for the familiar verses, the wonder of them, the beauty of them. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to use those words time and time again, to be able to speak to others about your amazing love for each one of us. Help us, Lord, to do this in our daily life. Amen. Father God, we thank you with that beautiful hymn, "No condemnation now I dread, Jesus and all in him is mine." Lord, may it be so. We thank you that at the beginning of this week we're able to worship you, to glorify your name. May it be so for the rest of this week, that we walk with you, talk with you, and be with you. Lord, guide us, protect us, and keep us as we go through this week. We ask now, Father, that you would be all that you would have us be, that we would become more Christ-like in all that we do and all that we say. In Jesus' name. And now the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.